Okay, as I said, I think we need to get our teeth into something and try to do some trial work right now.
Sure.
And that's why I put these two, it's an item for discussion. And I'm going to pick the easier of the two, public harbor access. What do people think about that? Do we have enough? Do we need more? Do we need less?
I would think we needed more information about the harbor before we would be able to answer that question.
What kind of information would you like?
I think, you know, I know where there is some access to the water, but...
So I'm not asking for a list. I'm not asking for a list of what the harbor access is. I'm talking about our idea about harbor access. See what I mean?
I wonder if this would be helpful. I mean, process-wise, in a comp planning process or in this kind of planning process, you normally start with the inventory first to see what information you have. And
yeah, but
based
Julie,
on that
Julie,
can I finish the sentence?
Well, please.
Then you can identify where the gaps are, and based on where the gaps are, it leads you to what your policy might be.
Yeah.
So if we were to reverse engineer with one of these as an example, it may be premature to decide what the goal is related to your policy recommendations on public access, but it would perhaps be a useful exercise to think what kind of information would you need in order to make that decision.
This is precisely what we're doing right now. As I said earlier, we need to get our teeth into something practical. We're not making any recommendations tonight. But if we don't soon start discussing the bricks and mortar, or should I say the buckets of water, about the project here, we're going to find ourselves just sliding into the holidays, into the new year, before we get any practical words and ideas out on the table. We're not being asked, we're not even thinking about saying what will happen, what we do, what we don't do right now tonight. I explained earlier that we haven't even let people know we're going to discuss this. I think, however, it would be good to hear what people feel about the idea of public access to the harbour. And one of the reasons that this is important, because this is one of the things that motivated, I suspect, City Council to suggest that we do this plan. There were some issues that were brought up that people really reacted strongly to. When the plan was put in the paper, it wasn't really a plan, it was a drawing, and Matt has explained to me quite in detail about what that was all about that was in the paper. That drawing that appeared on the front page of the Courier some months ago, it wasn't anybody's plan at all. But it raised the issue in the community of access to the harbour for ordinary people as well as for anybody else. And I just want to hear what people think about the principle, the idea of access to the harbour. This might be a good way just to kick off slowly and cautiously, creeping into the work that we have to get done here.
Can I touch on what you're just saying by using Noel's topic areas? Because he put public access as one of the first, as the first one, and he lists three basic things there.
Yeah.
The concept of physical access, and it says here the ability to reach the water from upland areas and access points, and visual access, I think we agree that that's also an interpretive access. So, you know, using historical plaques or that kind of stuff. Is that enough when we're talking about public access, or is there more public access that we're talking about?
Yeah, I was going to build on your question, which is let's maybe spend some time thinking about what people think about when we say public access. What do you mean by that? I've taken a whack at it just as a category, but are we talking about, you know, when you think about physical access, what types of things are you thinking about for physical access? Or first of all, does it make sense? I think building on what you're saying, do the three points that I put in that public access category make sense? Do we need to add more? Does physical access make sense? Visual access, interpretive access, is there another kind of public access that we should add to the list? I think that's a question. I'm asking the question.
Actually, APA access is a thought.
So is that a separate
not
type of access, or does that get incorporated into physical and visual?
Yeah. Incorporated, but
it's part of the background of all of it.
Yeah. Yep. Those are the three, and there's a lot. Once we drill down, there's a lot of detail for each one of those. Yeah.
So because ABA is physical access, is simply just a matter of the ability of everyone to reach the.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be, you say ADA compliant, it has to be everybody. But the under physical access, you've only got it going in one direction. The ability to reach the water from upland areas. Oh. The opposite is true, too. The ability to reach the town from the water side.
Very good point.
Yep.
Right. I mean, so it goes both ways, as well as, and this is where visual access is so important, and Harbor Trail so important, is for some people they're never going to get on the water, but their way to access the water is by being able to get close to the water.
Exactly.
So it's not just being able to see it, it's how close can people get to the water, and that's the historical stuff. If you go to some places, I'll use, what is it, New London, Connecticut, when you go down there, they've got a harbor walk with a dock for access that doesn't go to a boat, but it goes for people to be able to congregate on the water. So it's public access and physical access is more than just simply a one-way street.
Exactly. And I think that when we look at this, it's changing in the 21st century. I mean, traditionally, access to the water was going to get the fish and bringing it back. Whereas now it's people are building homes and they maybe never are on the water, but they sure as heck want to see it.
Just touching on what you said there, because it's part of physical access, is do we want to have places where people in Rockland can go fishing? You know, hand line fishing or with just throw a gopher mackerel at a public dock. Is that an important thing?
Yeah, that fits nicely under physical access.
Yeah.
How about other, we could just do a little brainstorm as we're doing, but like even just bullet points, you know, what kinds of physical access are we talking about?
Yeah, good.
What's the
one important area to consider, I think, would be the boardwalk in the south end. I don't believe it's public property. That boardwalk has been an enormous benefit to the city. And it was constructed by a private entity. It was actually constructed, I believe, by MBNA back in around 2000. And it has done wonders for people who live in the South End to have a direct footpath to the city. It is all along the water. It is also, I can think of, well, there's Archers, is a commercial business which is at the end of that boardwalk area, which has benefited enormously from foot traffic able to get there. The YMCA is on that path too. It's just been tremendously important, and it has always been a private and quiet concern of mine, which of course it will be no longer, that this remain a facility for the people of Rockland and our guests and wherever they come from, that this is there. I think we need to include that at some point in our recommendations to the city about the future of that.
Can I just, this is, has always been one of those things. When I was harbor master, I would travel around from town to town to look at public access. And there are places in Boston or New York City where there's private property that abuts the water. This is where we get into the private property, is as they redevelop Tilson Avenue, and again it gets to the Harbor Trail, is do we have tools to make people, every time they put in a condominium on the waterfront, which will develop eventually in some places, or even a business, to have public access, to have a boardwalk all the way around it. If at the end of Tilson Avenue it was all a boardwalk, right? What are the tools we have to either force somebody or encourage somebody to put in that kind of access? That's not going to be access to get on a boat, but it is going to be access for people to be able to walk around and see the waterfront.
Yep. I think that I would count that as sort of the visual. It's I'd still put that under the visual category, but yes, that's a good, you know.
But it follows on the yep. What MBA is.
Turns into physical, yeah.
I mean, we basically had a private business redevelop a portion of the waterfront, and for whatever reason, they provided this incredible public benefit.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of partnership was absolutely fascinating. I don't know that the city even asked for it. I think it was just basically said, look, would you like this?
And having seen how it revolutionized that area, can you imagine what it would do if we did it further around the harbor?
So let me ask another question just in terms of the Harbor Trail type idea or the boardwalk idea. But what type of access users should be able to be on those type of things? Just out of curiosity, is this a walking trail? Is this a biking trail or both, multi-use trail?
It depends where on the trail you are. And we can walk through that offline, or we can have you meet with there's a committee that works exclusively on the Harbor Trail.
Maybe we should ask them to come and talk to us or send us some thoughts.
Well, if Mr. Andre gets appointed,
all right.
We will have somebody with direct knowledge.
This is how this thing needs to grow and work.
Yeah.
What are there other types of public access examples?
Yeah.
Specific examples?
Yeah. I would think of Sandy Beach, which was given to the city in the 60s by the Berliowskis, I believe. That plaque is anything to go by. I believe everything I read. I mean, there's been some really good work done in that part of the South End in terms of public access these past few years by the city. With that. A huge amount of fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely crucial that be included in our ideas of public access.
Yep.
I think you know what I mean. The beach down there.
Yeah.
It's really, can you from the
yeah,
little
yeah
little
but little. I think
absolutely
that what is able to happen there is that you can actually get in the water and you can touch the water. So having places where it's not just visible, but being able to swim in it if you chose, put your feet in it, let your dog walk in it, whatever, maybe launch a kayak, that kind of thing should be.
We need to preserve that. Perhaps
is
what we're thinking
about. A little
about.
Difficult to access.
So well, that's
because
the stairs
going down.
Yeah.
When you said ADA access to things, that made me think about those stairs.
Yeah,
and thinking, you know, at this point, at kind of categories of access without getting too far into the details of particular facilities. You know, you're mentioning of kayaks and fishing. There's boat launching, which we have at one end of town. There's swimming access. There's launching for larger commercial fishing boats. There's access for commercial fishers and bringing catch back and forth across city property. There's access for islanders in terms of transportation and supplies. Public access maybe takes many forms. Bicycle access might be something to think about to the extent the Harbor Trail.
And some of that may also come under overlap in some issues, or all kinds of overlaps with working waterfront. Questions.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But thinking in terms of public access,
the second half of it is most people access anything nowadays by car. Does that mean we also have to discuss, I don't think we have to discuss, but it's part of what public access is, the ability to park, have parking lots in town where people are going to go access the water. Years ago, when the state had a program for buying pieces of property to build launching ramps, they built all the launching ramps that anybody could possibly want. And then once they built the launching ramp, they realized none of the parking lots that they built were big enough. And the next thing they had to do was start buying pieces of property for parking lots just so that people could launch their boats because the parking lots weren't big enough. Is our parking lot at Snow Marine big enough for all the cars that want to use it? Is that part of public access or not? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the other half of that is public facilities. Is that part of public access?
Yeah.
You know, if people are going to Sandy Beach to go swimming, and maybe we should be looking at ADA ways of getting down to the beach, but should there be a changing room? Should there be a bathroom at Sandy Beach?
You mean something about, along the lines of what is up at Chicamauki? That
or on a smaller scale, but okay. Or we get to the breakwater in that park there. For those people who want to access it, should there be a restroom there? I think almost all of us will agree, but what's the strategy? How do we get it? You know, once we look at some of the problems of what it is that part of public access?
Well, and to your point, too, you made earlier, public access is also access to Rockland from the water. Hmm. You know, maybe we also need to think about access for different kinds of boats that might arrive. And do we have adequate moorings? There's overlap with other categories with guest moorings and so forth, but...
And as we grow, as the harbor grows, as we get busier, we already see conflicts between access to the water or access coming from the water to the land, between what's available and those who want to use it. In terms of parking, I realize parking is not one of those sexy topics, but it's essential, like you say. Just to pick on one of our other coastal towns, I think our problem in the summertime in Wiscasset is not a particular cafe, restaurant, you know, a place that sells lobster rolls. It's that they don't have enough parking in Wiscasset for people who want to stop and shop and eat and so on. So that if we want to be able to wade at Sandy Beach or launch a canoe or a kayak somewhere along the harbor, we need to be able to have some way to get that kayak there.
And currently, it seems to be, everything seems to be working out swimmingly, dare I say, at Sandy Beach. But we're charged with a plan looking forward, as well as just like describing the current, right? So we've some way to understand the likely growth of demand for those things. That doesn't mean that we inevitably accommodate all growth, because putting limits on growth is often a way of preserving good things. So those aren't questions I'm trying to get at. But some things are working out very nicely right now, and some things the city has been doing have really been contributing to this idea of public access. And I don't think they're going to need a huge amount of encouragement to, first of all, to take congratulations for doing this kind of work, but also to see that it has to be an ongoing thing.
The good news about Sandy Beach, building on that, what you're saying, is that 20 years ago when we wrote this first harbor management plan, nobody thought about going swimming in Rockland Harbor.
No.
So some of that is the wastewater treatment plant and how it's cleaned things up. Some of it is the no discharge zone and the yachts mostly following that and having pump out stations. Some of that is all the other rules of how sewer lines go into the water, the state law, federal law. So we're at a spot where we have a clean harbor that people even think, oh, I want to go swimming there. So it gets back to the environmental stuff of how do we maintain that, and if we improve that, do we need other public access areas to go swimming in? Should we be looking at something down in Snow Marine Park as another place to do that? You know, that kind of...
These are the kind of questions.
Yeah.
Because if they want to plan for the future, it's great to describe what we've got in terms of inventory. But that's for future planning. And we may have to think about that at some point. Do we want to make recommendations? Or should there just be a standard thing in everything that we say that we need to see how this develops down the future and be aware of this, how these things develop, in terms of increasing public use, increasing vehicular traffic? Because one of the troubles is, they always used to say in Camden, what ruined Camden was an article in some national magazine saying what a wonderful town it was to retire to. And then all the locals suddenly woke up one day and realized that that's exactly what it had become. That's just anecdotal stuff. It doesn't mean too much. But we really need to think about the impact of development for better and for worse on the harbor.
Yeah, I guess just to add to that, you know, as we're going through these discussions, I like the Sandy Beach is a really good example where, you know, part of what we need to do is identify, here's Sandy Beach, this is what's there. And then in our discussions, and we've already started this, and these are the things that aren't there. And so we want to make a recommendation or not that certain things, you know, like maybe there's need for a changing room or something. But I would also say that, you know, this is a, like any plan, it has a shelf life too. So we're thinking long term, say 10, 20, 30 years out, but, you know, 10 years from now, you really should be revisiting the plan again to make sure that you've actually done a lot of the things that you're thinking about. But the larger themes should be fairly consistent 10 years from now. So that's what I think we want to capture, because there may be some things that we just can't predict, but generally, if you say you value public access to provide opportunities at Sandy Beach for swimming and things like that, and parking has to get integrated, we can come up with some statement that reflects the value of that site that carries forward. And so if there's an opportunity to have or need to address a demand, then that sort of policy should be the guiding principle by which decisions get made, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now. That's the way I kind of think about it.
I wonder if it would make sense to think, too, about proximity to access points. So, you know, Sandy Beach, New Marine Park, both at the south end of town. You know, when we do the inventory, is it worth thinking about what kind of access is there on the north end of town? So as you think about priorities for when properties become available or there's opportunity to do something, maybe something gets prioritized in an area where there isn't current access. Not recommending a particular thing one way or the other, just suggesting that proximity might be a factor to consider in all of this.
Yep, I think that, again, just sort of laying it out on the map to say if you have a public access points map, you can then get a real picture of, oh wow, we have tons of access over here of this kind, and we have very little of it over here of this kind. Or maybe it's really spread out and, you know, boy, everything's great, and we just need to worry about capacity at all these sites. I think that's the value of getting that all in one spot.
Yeah.
You talked about
one thing I haven't heard is the time dimension when it comes to public access during the fairs and such. You know, it's drastically reduced for Harbor Park, obviously.
That should be part of the discussion.
Which leads into different access points in the harbor where you could actually send a lot of the boaters during those fairs.
We haven't talked about the landslide property. That's something. There is no vision, there is no plan for what happens with that piece of property up there on Waldo Avenue.
Who owns that?
The city.
We do?
The city bought it from the family that lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really need this inventory.
At a bargain basement cost, by the way.
Right. So the question is there, you know, is it worth investing in an engineering study? Is it going to slide back into the sea? Is it a real public access point? If it was cleaned up, would it make a great picnic spot? You know, I think at low tide, it's all mud flats. But maybe it would make a picnic spot for people who want to just sit and look back at the heart. I mean, that's kind of public access stuff that's even bigger. Mm-hmm. That in 10 years, do we want to do something with that?
And part of, again, part of this whole inventory process will help inform that, because there are layers that we can put on a map that show your coastal hazard areas. So we know that's a bluff, coastal bluff area that's prone to erosion. So do you want to, you know, you have to think about maybe and how it ranks into the environmental constraints versus prioritization for public policy purposes, you know, how does that all trickle out? So I think those are all...
I think the geological discussion that happened when that thing fell into the water, was that in the 90s? It must have been in the 90s when that fell into the water.
I was a very young man.
I think it was
1994.
Thereabouts, was that, in fact, one of the reasons for all of that was because of the geological makeup of that whole point, of Jameson Point being one of clay.
Yep.
And not exactly until the most...
Until you get to the actual point.
Yeah.
I've already started the map that just shows, you know, the state is sort of mapped as coastal hazard areas, and I'm pretty sure that is like in a pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to double check that for sure. I can imagine it's in a high erosion area. Yeah.
I believe that extends all the way around from Semisette Road all the way to Front Street. I think those bluffs, that clay,
extends all
the way around.
Yep.
And that may be one reason why there's been such limited development in that area. That's certainly limited high-end finished development.
Yeah, or where, you know, the zoning will reflect a lot of that, too, and how far you have to be set back and those kinds of things. But anyway, we can get into all the details of that. But I think, you know, this is a good start of a brainstorming session about all the complicating issues that come into public access. And to me, what really builds on that is sort of understanding, like, oh, there's probably other areas. I think we even started this conversation at the very first meeting I was at. Like, where are the streets that go down to the road? Are there any access points that we don't know about?
And in that respect, which is, I remember that coming up, and I remember you remarking on it too.
Yep.
The wider discussion of public access probably ought to include. And we may end up deciding to recommend this specific thing, that the city commission a proper survey of public access. And I remember when the town of Camden did this, there were some eyebrows that went up, both by people who were surprised to discover what was public access, and there were some surprises for people who thought they owned what was actually turned out to be public access.
Yep.
So that kind of land use survey, not only does it like let everyone know where you can actually access the water in theory, it serves to establish the city's claim to lands, because you do see public lands that have been lost due to lack of use, and courts have agreed in the past to remove lands that were once considered to be public because A, no one knew about them, and B, property owners prevented, and I don't mean unkindly, they may have also legitimately believed that they owned the land. This is not one of these good guy, bad guy things. But a good survey of current existing public access really serves to preserve and establish those existing, whether we know where they all are or not. We all think we know where most of them are. But that whole question about property at the end of streets, we don't know.
Right.
And that's part of an inventory, right? Yeah. We say, discover what we know, discover what we don't, and options for filling in the gaps.
Yep. Well, maybe can we close out the public access discussion a little bit by this idea of the interpretive access that I kind of threw out there? It's sort of, wasn't really intending to dig into it today, but just the idea of that also is a type of public access. Does that sort of resonate with folks? But
signage and
it's an opportunity for the history or the environmental resources, different things of cultural significance, like sort of that whole interpretive idea that, you know, there's more to just the public access than both being able to see the water and get to the water or get from the water to the land, but you can learn from the water.
There's that educational part that the Harbor Trail Committee is looking at in terms of historical markers and potentially markers about important art pieces that were developed at particular places around the harbor. They're going to be talking about that at the upcoming meeting in October, among other things. They've got some designs that they've done in the past for interpretive access, so it might be a lot of that thinking.
Yep.
Might happen in the Harbor Trail Committee with some overlap in terms of goals that might be helpful to get into the plan when the time comes for that discussion.
On the Brooklyn Bridge, when you walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, about halfway there are a series of plaques about the history of New York and the vessels that were sailing on the East River at the time, 150 years ago, which is really pretty neat. An awful lot of people stop, well, because it's a long walk, but a lot of people stop and read the plaques. And so part of an interpretive thing is to not just say, oh, this is what we have here, but this is what was here before.
Yeah.
When you go to Sandy Beach and you go down there, it's not just an empty field. It used to be a spar yard where they were making masts. Or it used to be a boat building yard where the, so it's not just simply what we have at the moment that we're interpreting. Yep. It's what was there historically.
Harbor Trail Committee, I can show you offline,
has done some
great work there in trying to catalog some of that.
So I think that's a good start for public access, unless you have other elements of that conversation you wanted to add. But
The question for David and you is really, how do we get from these kinds of discussions to a hard policy statement, and then from there to strategies for how we're going to accomplish those, or get the council to accomplish those?
So my perspective is, again, public access is a good one to start with because it's easy to see. You know, here's what we have. And then we can, now that we know what we have, we can build on the conversation that we just had by saying, okay, well, let's focus on these public access, if we're talking about physical sites. And we, and then, so you examine them and talk about them and say, these are the things that we think are important about these sites that are, and also, so we're describing them, and then we're thinking about them in their physical sense, like what do they have, what are they missing? And then from a larger perspective, this idea of inventorying them can help us identify the conversation we just had. So we think, here's the picture of public access, but we think it's lacking over here, so our recommendation would be focus on this, and we've identified these particular opportunities. I don't know what those are yet, but I think that's how the conversation will start to progress.
You need to get it on paper is what it's saying.
That's what, I'm,
what you're saying, right? Get it on paper. So we've got something we can look around, pass around, comment on.
Yes.
Correct, fix, improve, whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll ultimately, you know, get public public opinion on that.
Right.
And then finally at some point come to a recommendation on it.
Yeah. And it sounds like, and this is not an uncommon theme, but what, you know, there may be, as we're having these conversations, like some things will jump to the top, like, oh, wow, the boardwalk is like the most important thing, and we really think that's a high priority, so we identify it in such a way that it becomes a high priority. And I don't know what trickles out of that, because I don't know all the background of it yet, but that's normally how the conversation goes. Things will jump to the top.
That's part of the strategy, is prioritizing things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in the end, or as we're going through the conversations, it'll be nice to sort of say, you know, these are the, from a public access, and maybe public access is going to get, you know, we're going to fine-tune it a little bit, but these things are the top three things that we're thinking about over the next several years. Like, if you have an opportunity to do this, this is high on the list, you know. But we may not know what that opportunity is yet, but it's high on the list.
And I think it's that what Ed mentioned, the ability to reach the town from the water is just as important as vice versa. It should be built into what we're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just something I never even thought about before.
Yep.
That's a good one.
And several places.
But you can't get off the water. So, that was the kind of discussion we're going to be needing to do in many dimensions, in many ways. And it obviously isn't the end of the discussion. It's not the end of the subject, but it's a getting into it. Does anybody have anything, any questions about that?
I'm sort of interested in this discuss or schedule walking tours of the harbor. I think, I don't go down to Sandy Beach very much, so I do know there are those steps down. But I don't really go down there. And I think a walking tour of access points would be really informative. I mean, maybe some of you all do that. I just, you know, I know about your little secret beach.
Yeah.
How to get to that. But, you know, to talk about what needs to be there and what is there and is it...
So we do actually have that on the agenda, right?
Yeah, we do. And I'm just wondering, you know...
Just one further.
Unless Matt wants to take us in his boat.
Just one other thing that occurs to me that we may want to think about. I don't know what I think about this idea. It's not like just because I say something it means that I'm all in favor of it. But someone mentioned earlier on, and this is how these conversations become fruitful, in terms of where at some point
someone said someone's going to start building condominiums on the harbor, on Rockland Harbor. You know, assuming that zoning permits that, that the land use zoning permits that, it's going to happen. And people were talking about that preventing public access. There's always a possibility. I mean, we have a public-private partnership right now with the boardwalk. There's the possibility of encouraging people that do to create these buildings, to build policies into our property tax policy that might benefit the owner for permitting public accesses without the city needing to take possession of land. But in the way that we have this relationship with the boardwalk owners right now, the possibility of having relationships with future owners that have private land on the harbor who may be willing to consider exchanging, doing some arrangement that provides public access where it's convenient. Who knows what that would really look like? But if we'd at least drop it into the list of thoughts.
I already did.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.